This audio recording was made on 3/1/2025 when we were watching the movie Solomon, and it involves basically the main topic is on Epikaya, exemptions from the law, and also we get into a little bit against the Stoics, and you will find it very interesting and hopefully inspire people to learn more about Epikaya, which is exemptions from disciplinary laws. This is Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, and I am the main person that is teaching in this particular audio. And we are with our Catholic brothers in New Mexico and Williamsburg, New Jersey, at the ranch, Mary's Little Ranch. For your only hope of salvation, visit my website at www.johnabaptist.us. Pieces of your
order to kill him!
Yeah, pieces
of my Lord King, he's taken sanctuary! Even now he's in the Holy Tabernacle, clinging to the altar!
I don't care where he is. Strike him down.
In other words, as the Italians say, take care of that thing.
Yeah.
Did you take care of that thing?
Joab, it's by command of the king. You are to die.
Yeah. That's a great one.
You did, man. Yeah. You're a dead man walking.
Won't you come out?
No. I'll lie here. I beg you, don't make me kill you there. I would commit sacrilege. Would you come out? Dare not, Banaya. I'm not ready to die.
So that was a divine law, obviously.
Okay,
to mean sacrilege, you cannot kill nobody. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Epikaya.
It is Epikaya. It's a disciplinary law. It's not like heresy.
Oh, it's not. Okay. So no. That was a disciplinary.
It's a disciplinary. Oh. It's not like heresy. It's like eating the showbread that was offered to God and is sacred, can only be eaten by the priests. But David ate it. And so that's a divine. It's not a dogmatic law. It's a disciplinary law. It's a divine disciplinary law. You could go into the sanctuary under certain circumstances and kill a guy. And a good example of that will be. I'll give you an example. A guy comes into the sanctuary and the priests are in there and he starts killing the priests. And you can't kill him because he's killing the priest, but you can't kill him.
Right.
So you're going to kill him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, so that's not a dogma.
No.
It's not a dogma. It's a disciplinary law. Just like the chauffeur. That's a big argument with Patrick Henry. He couldn't answer. I said, do you agree that God... divine means it came directly from God. Mm-hmm. And we have human laws. The church makes human laws, too, and you got to obey them, too. From the Pope.
Well, what's the okay? So my next question is, what's the definition? What's the real definition of sacrilege? Because he said sacrilege there.
Yeah, if he did it unjustly, if there was no good reason, he didn't have a reason to do it.
Right.
It's sacrilege to eat the showbread. That showbread that God said is
that was a divine law, wasn't it?
It was a divine positive law. Yeah. Right. God said the high priest can only eat the showbread. Anyone else eats it's a sacrilege. He must die.
Right.
But David ate it.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
So it wasn't when David ate it.
But this wasn't a divine law then.
A disciplinary law.
A discipline.
Yeah. I explain the difference and what's going on with that. Now, you have human laws. The church might make a human law and say, I don't want people to eat meat on Wednesday during this month. The Pope can say universally, I don't want you to eat meat on this particular day because whatever the reason the Pope says. But the Pope said that. You have to obey it. God, that's a human disciplinary law. Because normally you could eat meat, but he told you no. If God told the Pope directly, and God said, Pope so-and-so, tell these people not to eat meat on this fourth weekday. Now, that's a divine disciplinary law, because God told them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If God didn't tell them and the Pope just said it, then it's a human disciplinary law.
Right.
And you got to obey both of them still. But if Epikaya applies, because they're disciplinary laws.
Right.
So this is the big thing Patrick Henry was saying. Human disciplinary laws, such as when the Pope would say, just the Pope, you can't meet on the fourth weekday, and for some reason... you've got something, the reason you got to eat it, Epikaya applies, you can eat it, he would agree. So that's a human disciplinary law. God didn't tell him that. The Pope made that law. It's still a law, but he can be dispensed from it. Never can be dispensed from a law if God told him. So if God told the Pope, don't eat meat on this fourth weekday. Nobody can eat it. No leprechaun. And that's where I got him.
Yeah.
I said, the showbread is a divine disciplinary law from God.
Yeah.
God told Moses, only the high priests and the priests can eat the showbread.
Exactly.
No one else, or it's a sacrilege and they die. But David ate it when he was hungry. Jesus justified it and said it's epikai, it's dispensation from the law. Exceptions to the law. Circumcision on the eighth day. That was what our Lord said. Ox out of the pit.
Right.
No working on the Sabbath day. All right? That's a divine disciplinary law. God gave that law.
Yeah.
But he said you can break it.
Yeah.
You don't break it. I don't use the word break.
Because
you're not violating the law. You're exempted from it.
Right.
The law is still in force. And now when a human gives you, if you had a bishop, he can dispense you from the law. That's a dispensation.
Yeah.
If there's no bishop or to step in, you can do it by, exception, it's epikaya. Epikaya is when you do, I don't have a priest or a bishop to be dispensed from, there's no one I can go to, and I gotta do, take my, I gotta do something. And I go over that in my book. So, but when I was told, it was three people, Patrick Henry, Father Agregi, and Cabrini, they were your absolute bastards, Pharisaical bastards. They're like the Pharisees in The Chosen.
Yeah.
Where you can't, where God was breaking every law. Look, he's healing on the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
Why did he have to heal? Well, look, he's eating corn. Look, they're eating corn on the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
And so every time I ask them the questions about David's showbread, about circumcision, if it fell on the eighth day, if the eighth day circumcision fell on the Sabbath day, now you got two laws that are in conflict. On the Sabbath day, you can do no work. But this baby, it's his eighth day after his birth. He needs to be circumcised. And Jesus said, do you not circumcise your babies on the eighth day, even though it falls on the Sabbath? So now you've got two divine disciplinary laws conflicting with one another. What do I do? If I circumcise the kid, I sin because I worked. If I don't circumcise the king and don't work on the Sabbath day, I sin because I didn't circumcise him on the eighth day. See how important that is? So I go over all this in my book, Exemptions from the Law.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees, they don't believe there are no exemptions to these laws. They were so levered on those laws, no exceptions. No. And now Jesus called them hypocrites on that.
Yeah.
But even, see, what I would say is amazing, because every time I asked them those three questions, I never got an answer.
Yeah.
Never, ever. And I would ask them two or three times, they would change the topic, never giving me another answer on the epikaya.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why it confused me is I thought, I pictured, so that wasn't the Holy of Holies.
No, even if they did go to the Holy of Holies, that was the Holy of Holies
at
that time.
Holy
yeah, it was. Yeah.
So
it
that
was. Because it was in a tent.
Yeah. So only priests were allowed.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get
at. Yeah. Well, only priests are allowed to eat the showbread.
Yeah. but Joab wasn't a priest, right?
No, that's right. And David wasn't a priest and he ate the showbread.
Right.
But that's a divine law.
What's that?
That's the Holy of Holies.
It's not a dogmatic law that only priests can go in there. There's exceptions. If something happened in an emergency, anybody can go. Like, say the place is falling down or something's happening where it's on fire.
But wasn't that a divine law?
Disciplinary law.
Yeah,
it's not dogmatic. It's not dogmatic.
But that's my point. Is that it's epikaya from the divine law?
Yeah. Epikaya because it's a disciplinary law. If it was a dogmatic law, no exceptions. Let me give you an example. If the holy catches on fire,
yeah,
and there's no priests around, what do? You let it burn?
Yeah.
No, a layman goes in and puts it out.
Yeah.
That's epikaya.
Yeah.
It's not a dogma. It's not like, it's something that never was, the temple wasn't there, but now it's here, okay? It's not something that's everlasting. A dogma is everlasting. Adultery. You can never do that. Okay, you can't worship a false god. You can never do that.
Oh, so a divine law is kind of...
There's a divine dogmatic laws, and there's divine disciplinary laws.
Oh, okay, that's why I'm confused.
Yeah.
That's why I'm confused.
You know what you should do? Okay, this is a good thing for Lent. You guys read my book, Exemptions to the Law. Really? Because you guys are going to be called to rule people.
Yeah.
And so you're going to need to have to answer these questions. So, for Lent, I would tell you guys, start reading my book, Exemptions to the Law. That'll explain everything to you.
You gave it to me one time.
Yeah, read it.
You gave me like two pages.
But the reason you got to read these things, because you guys, if you're going to rule the church, you got to know these things. And you're good on other topics, and you'll pick it up real quick. But this is a good lesson on that right here. So, they're both divine laws. Some of, and like the divine law of Divine positive law. Don't eat pork. Don't eat pork. It's divine because it came from God.
Right.
God told it to Moses. Moses wrote it down. God told me, don't eat pork. You were allowed to eat pork before that. Now you can't eat it. If it was a dogmatic law, you can never eat pork. A dogmatic law can never, ever be violated or exempted from. Never. Adultery? No, never. Homo? No, never. Stealing? No, never. You can never do that. There's no epikaya for that. Nothing. Those are dogmatic laws. Jesus, the Holy Trinity, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, dogmatic. You can't come along and say, I don't believe in it anymore. I believe that Jesus isn't God anymore. Sorry, pal. He's God. Always was. That can never change. You can't say, I'm going to be exempted from that dogma and believe he's not God anymore. Don't matter. He's still God.
No.
Those are dogmas. Disciplinary laws can always be changed. They can be abolished or they can be exempted from.
Yeah.
And there's a difference.
It's obedience to this person.
Yes,
to God.
It's obedience to God.
Yeah.
Or even like a human, if a human makes a law.
Yeah.
And so what you're committing there, disobedience to a disciplinary law, which God binded upon you. But those are the kind of laws, though, where you could, so for instance, a good example, eating or not eating pork is not like committing a homo thing or adultery. It's not intrinsically evil. People ate pork before the new old covenant. Noah ate pork. So it's not something that's like intrinsically evil. Adam and Eve, don't eat the apple. An apple's not evil, or else you guys can't sell apples.
Right.
It was obedience.
Yeah.
And he was testing your obedience, and he does set up rules for the hierarchy and for holiness of the sanctuary.
Yeah.
So generally, he does want only the priest to eat the showbread. He does. He only wants the priest to go into the Holy of Holies. That's what he wants, because it's holy. But he's not saying you can't have exceptions.
Right.
You could have exceptions.
Yeah.
It's not so written in stone as a dogma.
Yeah.
If the Holy of Holies catches on fire,
yeah,
and you got your Chicago firemen and your North firemen outside there, and they come in with the hose and they put it out,
yeah,
and they're in the Holy of Holies. But
prayer for the fire
embroider. Yeah, I'm done doing that one now. Did I post it up yet?
Well, no, you put it in the Discord.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. I got it up. That was a good one.
Yeah, no,
it was good. I forgot about that. How do you like that? See how things work, you know?
Yeah.
But this is good because... I'll probably do another lecture on that, but you guys really should read the book on that, because it could be confusing, the word divine. Divine means it came from God, and God gives two kinds of laws. Disciplinary laws, like we're talking before, and dogmatic laws. Dogmatic laws can never change or be modified, or you can never murder, you can never steal, you can never commit the homo thing, you can't do adultery. You know, and all these are things that God, the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ is God and man. You can't come along and say, I don't want him.
Yeah.
Epikaiah, he's no longer God and man. You know, it ain't going to work. That's a dogma.
Yeah.
Eating pork, going into the Holy of Holies, eating the showbread, there's exceptions to those laws, you know.
Yeah.
Let the Sabbath, and even our Lord, that's all right. See, when the Chosen points this out really good.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus shoved it right in their face.
Because
they're saying to Jesus, when you watch the Chosen, God made that law on the Sabbath day. And you're working on the Sabbath, healing on the Sabbath day? And God made that law. It's a divine positive disciplinary. And she said, yeah. He said, but also, who doesn't take his ox out of a pit on the Sabbath day if it's in a pit and it's dying?
Mm-hmm.
So he did it on purpose to shove it in her face.
Yeah.
They were so much
rigid
on that, and they didn't. They're denying dog.
Strain out the gnat and swallow it.
Right. They didn't believe in any exceptions when there's exceptions to those laws.
No.
You can't be a good ruler if you don't understand that in those disciplinary laws there are exceptions. I'll give you another example I gave, which is, and I don't agree that priests should. You know, they had priests praying the whole divine office every day. Priests, parish priests. You know how long that takes the divine office? The whole divine office.
Yeah.
I don't like that rule. He's a priest. He's not a monk. Monks can do that. Priests got to hear confessions. He's got to say mass.
Yeah.
He's got to go out, extreme unction. But the law was, by 12 o'clock at midnight, and 12 to 12, within that one day, the priest has to get the whole divine office done. So, here's a priest, and also...
They do louds and all that.
Huh?
They get up at louds too, right? In the middle of the night.
No. It was just really weird. It's crazy. You know what a lot of them used to do?
Yeah.
They'd wake up in the morning and do all their offices in the morning.
Yeah.
But it's out of time.
Yeah, no.
So they can do the rest of their work during the day. So they would sit in the church in the morning and read the whole divine office, everything, night prayers, all the morning.
Oh.
Maybe they leave out Compline, and so they can get them all done. Right. Because once the day starts, they're working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you read my book. You're going to read about this. A lot. They all bring this up. I mean, the people are talking about Epikai, and the others don't deny it. What do you say? So it's 11 o'clock at night. The priest has 1 hour to pray Compline, or he didn't get his Compline in. He gets a phone call. Someone's dying.
Yeah.
Extreme unction. Mm-hmm. He's got to go out to that person and administer extreme unction. But if he, but he knows if he does it, let's say it's even quarter, 11:30. He knows if he does it, he's going to miss Compline. So what does he do? What would you do if you were the priest? That's right. But you just broke the law.
Right.
Yeah. You just broke the law because you did not finish your office within the until it was after 12. You didn't do your time compline.
Yeah.
You sinned. No, he didn't sin.
No.
I go over.
Yeah.
Another example I give is the letter of the law is you got to stop at red lights. Your friend gets shot. He's bleeding to death in the back car. And you go to the red light, stop short, and go right through it. Because you got to get into the hospital.
Yeah.
The policeman pulls you over, and he says, you violated the law.
Yeah.
He sees the guy bleeding in the back. If he's a normal kind of policeman, he would say, okay, I understand why. He'll give you an escort.
Yeah.
You broke the letter of the law.
Yeah.
But the spirit of the law was not that somebody should bleed to death on that account.
Exactly.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So,
common sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Epikai, Stoic people hate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stoic people, the Pharisees our Lord was up against, he saw no exceptions to laws. That guy, I love the one guy they're talking about. Like, he was so strict on certain laws, and they brought it up to how preposterous he was. And I love the chosen, because Jesus, and this is what Jesus did, that he shoved it in the face.
Yeah.
He said, you hypocrites.
Yeah.
You're worried about these little things, and look at these big things you're doing. All these laws you're making that are burdensome, that people can't even keep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all these other sins you're committing, but you're so concerned about this, you know, so rigid on this disciplinary law. But Jesus was never lax on dogmatic law. He can't be. He's God. So basically you have divine disciplinary laws and you have divine dogmatic laws. The divine dogmatic laws, nothing. No exemptions, they're forever. Divine disciplinary law, DLs, divine disciplinary DLs, you can be exempted from them, dispensed from them, and they can be abolished, changed, and modified.
Yeah.
And when you look at canon law, the history of the church, look at all the popes. They would have canon laws where they made laws, and then basically, if you had a bishop or a priest to go to, he can give you a dispensation. So you don't need a epikai because you got a bishop to go to.
Yeah.
But if it's an emergency situation and you don't have no bishop to get this, like that priest I just told you about, you know, well, of course that's a common sense thing though. Oh, bishop, I can't finish compline. Is it okay? I got to go. He wouldn't even do it. He would just go.
Yeah.
But there's things where you can get dispensations if you have a legitimate authority.
Right.
You go to him. And he would say, you're dispensed from eating meat today. You're dispensed from, you can work today because you have to. So
this, and then you have sinful disciplinary laws.
Yes.
Saying,
that's what the Pharisees were doing. And they were binding them on people that they couldn't even keep.
Right.
They couldn't keep themselves.
They couldn't even keep themselves. It's amazing how we learn a lot on these things, you know. That's a giant one, too.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's why it is important to really start reading the stuff I got, because when you guys are going to start teaching people, you're going to have to be explaining these things to them. And, well, it's not going to be, I got it written, you can just tell them to read it, but they're going to come to you with questions, and then you could guide it, but you got to know it yourself.
Yeah.
So you got to know how to explain it. But when you read that debate with Patrick Henry, I studied that for 1 year.
Yeah.
I took 1 year alone on Epikai. I read all the books on it. I debated this bastard. I had one book I published it and I took it off because I don't want to confuse people, but it's about this big.
Yeah.
Me debating him and all the people on the Epikai thing and going back and forth with the McKenzie books and all that. So then I boiled it down after I was done and made it simplified.
Yeah.
And then with Patrick Henry, I asked him like those just three questions that he never answered. And I told him, you didn't answer my three questions about the showbread, about circumcision on the Sabbath day, and about pulling an ox out of a pit on the Sabbath day. And he says, then he wrote me back. He never answered my question.
Yeah.
He says, all right, Brandon wants me to answer his questions. Well, I've got some questions for him. So he sent me 250 questions. 300. He'll tell you. Nick witnessed all this. He was around when this was happening. 300 questions he asked. And he goes, unless you answer each one of those 300 questions, you're out, you're done, you're a fraud. Whoa, what are you kidding me?
Take a long walk off a short
That's, break. Well, I think he's in Mexico. Where is he now? Mexico somewhere?
Yeah, Arizona, yeah. Stafford. Yeah.
Arizona. I thought he went to Mexico.
He kind of was. And now he's back in. I never hardly read him, but they're always addressed from Stafford.
I can't. You know one thing? I learned, that's how I learned about, I studied all the canon laws, but I learned, but one thing I still say, I argued with them a little too much. I went a little too far. I should have just cut them off sooner. But,
He got a lot of evidence for
them. Yeah, I got a lot of evidence. Yeah. You know, and then you got, we call them the people at the Niapakaya.
Yeah.
They are like the Pharisees, Shimei or Shimon,
yeah.
Or the one strict guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the chosen.
Yeah.
That's the way they are. Did he took up his bed up.
Yeah.
He took his bed up on the Sabbath day.
That was really important to us, though, because we're operating on Epikaya.
That's exactly right. That's it.
We needed all of that.
If we don't have Epikaya, I'm a fraud.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got no right. I showed him. He's like, God, this is big. You brought up the other point. That guy nailed him so. I nailed him on 1,000 different points. According to their letter law, canon law, you're not allowed. Yeah, yeah, he knows.
I can't make copyright.
That's right.
You can't make copies.
That's right. Oh, you can even teach. Watch it. Yeah. It gets deeper. On canon law, and it's a good law.
Yeah.
It's a great law. You cannot teach the faith unless you get the approval of your local Catholic bishop. If that's a great law. If that law didn't exist, anybody can do it. So now we got Catholic bishops, real Catholic bishops, in a real Catholic country, and anybody can go out and just say, I'm going to teach.
Yeah.
It don't work that way.
No.
You got to get that's a good law.
Yeah.
So I said to these guys, and they agreed, we don't got no bishops, so what do we do? He says, we're not allowed to teach. I says, well, what do you do then? Well, we read from books or we send them catechisms, but Cabrini was like that. Yeah, she would just have a catechism, but she would never comment on it. She would never teach. They couldn't even go off of a book because if they started to talk to people one-on-one, they're teaching. So I said to Father Grady, nobody, he won't give lectures anymore.
Wow.
He would just have mass, but he won't give any lectures because he believed he wasn't allowed to teach. And I went, and Cabrini then, she wouldn't even take the text out of a catechism, like OCR it. She would photocopy it. Because here's the book. I photocopied. It's not me. It's the book. But then there's another canon law that says, you can't even photocopy stuff and give it to people. That's another good law.
Yeah.
Why is that a good law? Because if you photocopy something, how do I know if you didn't mess around with it?
Yeah, yeah.
How do I know if you didn't doctor up the photocopy? Yeah. So the church has got great laws. Mm. And the law is, you can't even photocopy stuff and give it to people without their permission from the bishop. Mm. So you got to give them the actual book with the imprimatur. If you start photocopying stuff, how do I know you didn't change it? It's a great law. And it's on the books. So Cabrini was photocopying stuff. I said, you can't even photocopy stuff. You're breaking the law. So if you have a Pekaya, you can't even photocopy stuff.
And you're like influencing.
Yeah.
You're still kind of influencing,
So as you're photocopying stuff, people read your stuff, they ask you questions, you can't answer them unless you read the catechism and photocopy and say, read this. It's crazy. Yeah. It's insanity.
Yeah.
They're insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a whole group of those people out there.
Yeah.
I call it the Pharisaical Stoic. They're not even Stoic-y, all of them. Some are Stoic and some are. Grady wasn't necessarily Stoic. He was just a Pharisee. But he won't give lectures. Yeah. I'm not allowed to give lectures. But he would write books.
Yeah.
So I said, you wrote a book on the four marks of the church.
Yeah.
That's teaching. I'm sorry.
They hear confessions.
Too. Yeah.
Well, they couldn't hear confessions.
Yeah. Confessions.
Confessions.
You cannot hear confessions.
Yeah.
Without the jurisdiction of your local ordinary. That's another one. Yeah. Confessions is another one.
Yeah.
If they don't believe in Epikaya, I said, you can't even hear confessions.
Yeah, right.
And Cabrini's condemning all these other people that are trying to preserve the faith, even though we're about on other issues, because they're hearing confessions and teaching from the pulpit and preaching lectures. She's condemning them, a group of people, and she's sewed into that. It's even common sense, Epikaya.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And she's a woman too. A woman's not even allowed to publicly teach, which is another issue. But you had the main culprits on that whole thing was Cabrini, Agregi, Patrick Henry, and there weren't so many people. But there was Caspar's were.
Caspar.
Remember
yeah.
Caspar's were on that.
Yeah, they were.
And I had to pull him off of that too.
Yeah.
You know, he was big on the Epikaya thing. Now you can abuse it. But so what? You know, if you abuse it, you can abuse any of it. But that's a good example where a lot, it's really based upon common sense. And the thing is, when he was saying, like, because first he said, oh, no, he's saying, if it's a human law, you can use a pekai, but not divine. So I said, well, do you agree that God told Moses, divine disciplinary law, only the high priest can eat the showbread? God told him. It's a divine positive disciplinary law. I don't know how to use the word positive. It's one of those scholastic things.
He
liked that. Yeah, he used that all the time. What was it, negative? You can or you can't. I don't know. There's a divine negative. Yeah. Anyway, I say, do you agree that God told him directly that you cannot eat the showbread? And that's the one he would never answer because he believed only in the human law. So I said, look, it's right here. And I said, Jesus came along and said, did you not read when David ate the showbread and yet he was justified? He did not sin for doing so. Jesus is God and he's saying he was allowed to do it. So question is this. When God spoke to Moses, why did God not say this to Moses?
Yeah. Moses, only the high priest can eat the showbread, except for 1,000 years from now when David comes along and his men, they can eat the showbread. Now that's divine, because God told him.
Yeah. He never said that.
Yeah.
God said, only the high priest.
Yeah.
He didn't say when David comes along. He didn't say exceptions. Yeah. But they understood that discipline laws could be exempted from. And Christ confirmed it. And that's where the high priests are coming along. And they're saying, like you were saying about, you're saying, oh, he committed sacrilege. You're saying, you'd be condemning Christ. They condemn Christ because he said David was allowed to eat the showbread.
Yeah.
And, but even the high priest knew he was allowed to eat the showbread. So how are you going to answer that one? People that are like that are letter of law. They're very strict. Everything's got to be perfect. Dot your I's, cross your T's. You can't go over here for anything, for no reason, for nothing. And even, you're not even sinning when you're exempted from these things. It's like they're losing common sense.
Yeah.
These people would actually let the Holy of Holies burn down instead of going in and putting the fire out.
Yeah.
Brother Richard?
Yeah.
Isn't there, you're saying someone could touch the Holy of Holies to put the fire out?
Yeah.
But isn't there a place in the Bible where they're carrying it?
Yeah, and he wasn't. That's right. He did it. I think he did that. That's a good. He did that. I think to show the reverence of the ark. Maybe he didn't need to do it. That's a very tricky one.
Well, there was specific appointed.
He wasn't supposed to be carrying.
And somebody else wasn't supposed to carry.
He wasn't supposed to be. Because it is a law. If you break that law, he didn't have a good reason to do it. I guess he wasn't supposed to be carrying it, from what I understand.
From reading the passage of this event, which is in 2 Kings 6, verses 3 to 8, and 1 Paralipomenon, chapter 13, verse 7 to 11, Uzzah was not a priest, and he was not supposed to be carrying or touching the ark, and he was riding the cart. And when you read about it, the ark was only leaning. It was not falling. So it wasn't necessary for him to touch it as if it was falling down. And if he wanted to straighten it out, he should have told one of the priests, and they could have straightened it out. And so there he did break the law on that occasion because epikai did not apply, because he could have easily told a priest to straighten it out instead of him touching it. But as I said in that commentary on it, I don't believe it was a mortal sin for him, it was a venial sin, but God still had to punish him to show the reverence which is due to the ark and his disciplinary laws, that they should be kept if they could be kept and not exempted from for unless you have a good reason. In this case, he did not have a good reason.
If you break the law and there's no good reason, God will kill you. He'll punish you.
Yeah.
He'll kill you. If there's no good reason, there's got to be a good reason. Because if God doesn't punish you, he doesn't have to kill you, he can punish you. You just can't break the disciplinary law. You have to have a good reason. So you there's times when God will kill you or punish you. Most a lot of times when you break the disciplinary law, you get punished. You got to have a good reason. But you could break disciplinary laws. You better have a good reason. You just can't go into and break a law for no reason. You have to have a good reason. There has to be. But Jesus even went out of his way when maybe there was not a reason to do it, just to shove it in their face. Remember what he said when he healed the guy in the pool of Siloam?
Yeah.
And they said he could have waited 30 more minutes and healed him. He wouldn't have violated the law.
Yeah.
But see?
Yeah.
I mean, he did that on purpose because he was shoving it in their face. Because all these years, they were not allowing people to be exempted. Yeah.
He's also showing he's God, because God can dispense.
Well, no, he was showing more than that.
Yeah.
But later on, he said that. Yeah, but he was using a Pekiah.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that, because they were, before he came along,
right,
they were brutal.
Yeah.
They were brutal.
Yeah.
They were not allowing for exemptions or dispensations from disciplinary laws.
Yeah.
And they were binding extra ones upon the people that were crazy and hard to keep.
Yeah.
So he did that on purpose because they needed a counteraction.
Yeah.
But if you've got too many people breaking disciplinary laws and they're not strict enough, then you got to have some punishments. Because you got to say, hey, no, this is still a law.
Yeah.
I don't want everybody to start doing this, you know?
Judge not according to appearances.
That's it. Yeah. John 7:24.
And you got to use your common sense.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
He says,
judge not according to appearances.
Right.
But judge just judgment. Yeah.
And Ananias and Sapphira, like when he killed them, that was an example, right? He did that for an example, just like
Well, what they did, they committed a mortal sin.
Right.
First of all, he'd have to kill them, but he did.
Right.
For one reason, to show the authority of St. Peter.
Right. Yeah.
Because if he didn't kill them, nobody's going to give tithes. Everybody's going to cheat. Who cares? Peter's got no power.
Yeah.
So he did that to put people in fear of St. Peter.
Because
if he didn't do that, no one's going to give him tithes. They cheated. They lied to him.
Yeah.
They promised to give the property, held back half of it.
Yeah.
So if they wouldn't have promised at all, there would have been no sin there.
Yeah,
but they promised the whole property.
Yeah.
They held back part of it. And God killed them because he said, if I don't kill these people, everyone's going to do this.
Yeah.
Pretty soon Peter's chopped liver. Nobody's going to obey him in anything. And there's no Epikaya there.
No.
There's no Epikaya.
No.
You lied.
Yeah.
You lied. You said I sold my property and you kept half of it.
Yeah.
So that's like that's a dogmatic moral law. They stole.
Yeah,
they broke their contract. It's a dogmatic law.
You know, it was a contract to God. You know, that proves that it was a contract directly to Anaphora.
They made a vow.
Yeah.
A vow.
It was a vow. Yeah.
Serious.
Yeah.
But I was thinking even sometimes like even Christ exempt. When you commit a mortal sin, like adultery, it's always a mortal sin. Your soul's in damnation. But you don't always need to get the death penalty. If God can have mercy. David, the adulterous woman in the Gospels. So God could say, I'm going to dispense you from the death penalty. She's worthy of it, though.
Right.
She's worthy of it, but God dispensed it. And in that case, Christ dispensed it, and David was dispensed of the death penalty. But when you start, when you need to enforce the law, and let's talk about adultery, if a lot of people are doing it, and the homo thing, you got to start killing people. You have to. Because if you don't start killing them, everyone's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just something where, okay, if it's not that bad, a few people are doing it, you caught a couple guys, maybe you can give a guy mercy, do it. Second time they get you, I'll kill you. But if a lot of people are doing it, and they say to the Pope, they say there's a lot of adultery, almost all the husbands are committing it, you got to start killing people if you got the power to do it. You got to say death, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a chance to confess, but you kill every one of them. Then you don't do the Jesus forgive thing.
Mm-hmm.
In that case,
you need deterrence.
You need deterrence.
Yeah.
So it all depends. Even and then you can dispense from the penalty, but the adultery is still a mortal sin, no matter who commits it, and your soul's in damnation. Disciplinary laws, though, if you have a good reason, you can be dispensed from it. If you don't have a good reason, you can't. And you're right. Breaking some disciplinary laws is not always a mortal sin. It all depends on what the law is that you broke. What were the consequences of the law you broke? It could be a venial sin, not a mortal sin. And so the disciplinary thing law is like it's a common sense. It really is. I use the example of your buddy's bleeding in the back seat. He got shot. He's bleeding to death, and you're driving the car to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? You stop at the red lights?
Mm-mm.
You stop enough so you don't get hit, and then you go right through it.
Yeah.
Right. You could, a goober can know that, right?
It's common sense.
Mayberry RFP goober down there can know that.
It's supposed to be common sense when you're obeying God's commandments.
Yes,
right? Obeying God's commandments.
It's common sense, yes.
It's automatically
and it is.
Common sense.
That's why I'm telling you. It's important we're talking about this, too, because when people ask me for dispensations or exceptions, and you got to look at the situation. You got to be merciful. It's not even a matter of mercy. It's a matter of dispensation. It's justice.
Yeah.
Mercy is when you don't get the death penalty.
Right.
But dispensation is justice. Because the person really wants a dispensation. He's got to work. In justice, let the guy work. And tell him, yes, you could. You're not committing a sin. And so you weigh it out. If you're so strict that if people that are just don't believe you can break the disciplinary laws, I don't know how they can live with themselves or anyone else. They themselves will get caught breaking it a million times.
Yeah.
They end up having a stoic conscience. I don't know how they can live with themselves. And how people can live under that. It's like you're in a box.
Yeah.
You're afraid to breathe or something, or going to do something
there's
wrong.
There's one exception here. The guru would only go halfway through the intersection and stop.
Yeah, you get hit by a car. Goober would get hit by a car.
Goober.
Gooberino. As they say, let the Italians say, Gooberino. That's a goober Italian. Gooberino.
What Brother Sal was saying, that does make sense to me. God's commandments are common sense. Like when he says, my yoke is sweet, my burden is light. It's not hard to keep.
It's not something where you're conflicted.
Like you said, it's the hardest is the sin. That's your sinful ways are the hard ways when you come in out.
That's exactly right.
And then the commandments are easy.
Right, exactly. And think about how could God's way be light and sweet if you got a priest saying you got to finish compline by 12 o'clock, it's 11:30, someone's got extreme unction, you're dying. Oh my God! I'm going to sin whatever I do. And then when he's done, he sinned. So he's whipping himself. He's doing penance 20 hours. Am I forgiven? I didn't finish the cop. But Lord, you saw me. I had to go heal the guy. I got extreme unction. What am I going to do? You know.
That is common sense.
That's not the easy way. No. That's just crazy. It's the crazy way.
Yeah.
It's not the easy way.
Mm-hmm.
And and it ends. It's like that Stoic-y thing, too.
Yeah.
Then you had to, then you got the mostly Stoic people.
Father egregious.
Mostly Stoic people that hold that. You ever lived? If you ever been around a Stoic, man, it's like paralysis.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You can't laugh. You can't show any emotions.
Yeah.
And if any laughs a little bit, they go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he is weird.
Unless you're afraid to talk.
Yeah.
Anything you say,
yeah,
anything. Can
I?
Can I?
Yeah.
The more you start learning more about the faith, and you think, oh man, it's bad. It gets worse. I think it's worse than we think.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
So the deeper you go, it's like it's so bad right now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that we probably haven't even scratched the surface of you know what I mean.
Oh yeah.
All the research that you've done, all the work that you've done, it's just like the more we talk about it, it's just like it's worse than
it is. I mean, if we ever really actually saw everything.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I like the verse where it says, "Decline not to the right hand, to the left hand. It may straight the path of your feet, and all thy ways shall be established. Decline not to the right nor the left." And it's so beautiful because you could be a lefty liberal or an extreme Stoic-y righty.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you who's more dangerous. The Stoic-y righties. Yeah. And liberals stick out. They're so bad, bozo, you know. These guys are real dangerous on the right.
Yeah.
But if you're around them, you'll see every traditionalist that I got up, and I said it a million times, and I know them like I know. When I grew up and I was with regular mafia guys and regular street kids, they're like kind of normal compared to these guys.
Yeah.
You go, these people are mental cases.
Yeah.
They lie. They lie worse than mafia people.
Yeah.
They're hypocrites. And they got some type of real mental problem with their kids. They're mental because they're like in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, some of them just go nuts. They freak out. They just go crazy.
Yeah.
And you look at them and they're nuts. They're not even normal at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do to their children by this over Stoic-y, false piety, you know. It's Stoic-y
stuff. They're on the top of the weirdo list.
Yeah, they are
a bunch of creepos.
Yeah. They're worse. I think
weirdos,
they're more worse and more because they're more dangerous than the lefties.
Yeah, they're more dangerous.
They're more dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eccentric to the mass.
Huh?
Eccentric.
Eccentric.
Because I bet those same guys that you're referring to, I bet you they know real good the whole Latin Mass, and they know.
Oh,
you know,
no.
You're talking about the Latin Mass and all
Gregorian chant.
I bet you they know it by.
They know the language. They know the
back of their hand.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
Why did sepulchre?
And they say a beautiful Mass, and they say the Gregorian chant. It's beautiful.
Yeah, when I first started discovering the SSP10, I was like, wow, this is
it's all outward.
Beautiful. You know, it is beautiful.
It's all outward.
And then I went to the SSP10 chapels, and it was like weird. It was just the weird vibe.
Yes.
It's just weird.
Sal, the SSP10 chapel is cold. It's cold.
It was all
it's like ice.
I had to travel like crazy far from where I live.
SSP10 chapel, they're almost all
weird.
Like that, but SSP10 especially, Yeah. I got the feeling like ice cubes. It's like ice.
Yeah.
It's so cold.
Yeah.
It's so like stone. It's like, are these people alive? It's like the priest. Even the way. Actually, you know, you want
yeah,
it. David Gordon.
Yeah, I know.
They would overdo it. Yeah, here's a way to do it. Right, there's a way to do it. That, and they would go like this. And then you can't talk to them after that. You have to be very proper. Yeah. Don't know you're not allowed to say that. You can't approach them. Keep your voice down. But, you know, it's. Don't ever talk to them about the faith.
No.
If they know you can ask them some questions, they're out the back door. They love the Summa, the SSB 10, they're always calling Aquinas.
Yeah.
And they're talking like first part of the second part of the third objection. And people are sitting there going, what the heck is this guy talking about? What is he talking about? Even my one, Sal, was my friend's, what is his name, you know, New Jersey.
Oh,
and his son was an SSB 10.
Oh, and he
Yeah. Marcelino.
Yeah.
What is his name again?
Marcelino.
Yeah, that guy. My Italian friend.
No, that's
anyway, I'll get his name in a minute. But his son was SSB 10. We held the Salvation Dogma and the Saving Composition at that time. He did at that time. And his son was in the SSB 10. And we would argue with him and his family, and we would argue about the Salvation Dogma and all that. Then his son got, he got so fed up about it that he asked the SSB 10 to transfer him to Africa, and he said, I'm going to just bury myself into Gregorian chant. I just want to be an expert on the Gregorian chant. So he went to Africa so he could get away from all this conflict, because he couldn't deal with it, and he's probably the best Gregorian chant guy in the whole world.
Yeah.
Doesn't give a crap about the faith.
Yeah.
He ran there, he hid there, you know, mm-hmm. And now they hide under that, and it makes them look holy.
Yeah.
But they don't want to, about the faith. He don't want to deal with
yeah.
that. And
yeah.
boy, did he get he knew about it too. But he his yeah. father fell away too.
Yeah.
So what a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess. But you know, it's really the same thing when you watch The Chosen. It's the same. Mm-hmm. You're looking at it. Yeah. I mean, it's worse today. But still, but you've got some similarities between the lefties and the righties. And you're looking at the Stokey kind of people that are there in our Lord's time.
Yeah.
But even our Lord's time, it was bad, but wasn't near it. Or if it wasn't as bad as like today, or see, whenever even it came the first time. Yeah, it's come in some type of order a little bit. But like it wasn't like when they completely had idols in the temple and all that. But it was still bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had your Stoic-y type of people were, which you're right, it is. It's like, I think they had a couple scenes in The Chosen where they were bringing it up, where he's talking about if your wife is, if your wife is not so beautiful, but on her wedding day you say she's always beautiful, you're not allowed to say that because it's a mortal sin. So you got to say she's ugly, you know. But what's beauty anyway?
Yeah.
Wait, it gets crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A strict people, literal law person, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine all the people like discouraged. Like, like what is this? Like,
They discourage all.
Yeah, discouragement.
A good word person gets discouraged. If you're of goodwill, you're not going to go there.
Trying to convert.
Yeah.
Just out in the world and just lost, completely lost.
You're not going to get it. Exactly.
They search for the true God and they see all these laws. Yeah.
You know, yes. You know what happens, Sal, when you go in there? Then it becomes, it's almost like here you're doing too much. Now you can't do anything. It's almost like now you can't even breathe without sinning.
Right.
Even God told me that I was Stoic in the beginning in a lot of ways. And then God told me, Rich, you know, when you were a pagan, living like a pagan, not everything you did was bad. You had some good qualities.
Right.
I don't destroy your good qualities. Don't destroy them.
Yeah.
Keep them. They're embellished now.
Yeah.
But you come in like that, you think you got to be like, I was, that Stoic mentality,
yeah.
And it don't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You fit yourself in a box. It becomes difficult to explain things. And worse than that, when you're trying to teach it to other people, you're binding something down on them, and you're actually make them feel guilty for breathing. So I had to learn the hard way myself. He says, all these things you did, there were some good things you did. Don't lose those qualities. Keep them. You know, you don't have to become this Stoic robot. Because when you first come in, you're going through trad cats, and they're all like that. You're reading that stupid, what that guy?
And
but the other one, that guy, Thomas Kempis. Kempis. The whole world's evil, everyone's evil, the passions are evil.
Yeah,
it gets crazy, you know. But you got all kinds of wackos out there, so you know we're not going to finish Solomon tonight.
Get another round for the
next. You know what? These are the best discussions.
This is
the best way to learn.
Remember, Caspar used to joke about it. He used to go, he didn't joke about it.
Oh, yeah.
He used to laugh about it. But I ended up convincing him that it's legitimate. How could even Mel, I don't know where Mel's from, but Caspar was friends with Mel Gibson. They were close friends. And he was with us for a while, Caspar's, but him and Mel were like... very close friends.
Yeah.
So in the newest canon law, is Ebukai mentioned?
Yeah. Yeah. That's in there. I think it is. I'm not positive. I think it is. Oh, the newest one. The newest
one. 83. Yeah. That's the Minnesota one. Is that what you're talking about? The
Code 17.
Code 17. Or
17, right?
And then.
Oh yeah. I'd have to look. Yeah.
Well, is that the newest?
The canon law. I was thinking was a 1970 code canon law.
Code of canon law, right?
But that, of course,
it was never renewed or anything.
Vatican II, 1983.
That's what I mean.
1983 Code of Canon Law.
Yeah.
Now they had they had what did they talk about in the canon law? Oh, anyway, the 1970 Code. I took a whole year studying canon law, and I was gonna redo the whole canon laws, clean them up and all that. But it was so bad. It was so bad. Sorry, what do you want? You want some wine?
Yeah.
I found out it was so bad. The code that's in effect now is the Hadriana Dionysian Code from the time of St. Charlemagne.
Yeah.
That code. That's the one I want translated into English. That's the one that's in force. And it was in force up to like 1,000 or... you got to look at the last code of canon law around the 1033 or 1130. But that code was really good. Justinian Code. Oh. That was a civil code. Really good laws. Mm. The 1970 Code has some good laws too, though. They do. I love canon law. When you study canon law, you're studying the order of the church. How precise. But of course, there are bad laws. Unfortunately,
Promotion of taking 1 or 2 years of philosophy.
So
that kicked him out of.
But the whole concept of canon law is beautiful, like the rules, the regulations, the order of the church. So canon law is a beautiful thing.
It's like the disciplinary laws in the Old Testament.
Yes, exactly. I'm reading Leviticus now. Read Leviticus.
Yeah.
And everything when you're reading Leviticus, isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
Because you see God's justice.
Yeah.
If you have an animal and he gores a guy one day, he does it a second time, and you let him out of the gate, kill him. So everything in Leviticus is justice. It's God cares about people. He cares about order. And you see it. It comes right through.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have laws, there wouldn't be.